He was like my brother, man. Actually, my cousin, but he was like a brother to me. He always would ask me about my problems. How was I? What was going on in my life? And then when I'd turn around and be like, yeah, this is what's happening for me. What about you, bro? He deflected and he didn't like talking about himself.
Did you recognize at the time that he never really spoke about how he was going?
Well, see, that's the thing. Hindsight can be good at times. And I look back and I didn't really pay too much attention to it because I feel like in society, sometimes guys just don't like to talk about their own things. And even I was a bit reluctant because he had that big brother mentality. I felt more open to talk to him about the problems that I was experiencing. And very rarely would he open up about his, or he'd make a joke or deflect the conversation. And now I've learned, obviously, from my lived experience of what the case was. But back then, I just thought he didn't really like to talk about, you know, much about himself.
Did you ever consider for a second that he might take his own life?
I suppose, yes. But at the same time, I'd like to feel that I did absolutely everything I could to be able to reach out to him to try and connect. But Matty just didn't want to connect because of that old school mentality to which we're trying to change at the minute.
But when you look back, it makes sense and it's easy to see those signs and think, yeah. Oh, I remember when he said this, or when he was going through this, I can work it out in my brain how he might have jumped to this conclusion. And you can look back and that all makes sense. But for me personally, at the time with my mate and never having experienced anything to do with suicide or even really mental illness, just didn't even enter my mind. You know, obvious as those signs have been looking back and now being quite educated in the space and having been able to help other friends since then, at the time, like, my brain didn't consider that for a second.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I feel like that's just, again, goes down to lived experience. Now I've had that. I'm much more cognizant of around other friends and things like that because, yeah, I did reach out and you look back and you can piece the things together of, oh, he didn't go to this social event. And there was kind of a pattern going on where you're like, oh, well, like you said, it actually makes sense now. He didn't go to this because he wasn't feeling good. And the last message that Matty sent me, he was meant to come over with his partner to a real intimate small gathering we're having. He was meant to come over with his wife, Christy. And he's going to bring us a cheese platter. I was fucking stoked about it. Anyway, the next morning he woke up and he messaged me and was like, hey, man, I'm not going to be able to make it to your party today. I'm not feeling good. And see, I just thought that as a physical thing because I feel like sometimes we discount the mental side of things and how that can make you feel. One of the best things, and I've said this heaps, people probably tired of hearing me say it, but the importance of really thinking of the messages that you send to people because you really don't know if it'll be the last thing that they see.
Yeah.
He messaged me and I wrote one back being like, fuck man, like, you know, seriously. I was like, bro, just come. If anything, just drop off the cheese platter kind of thing.
He really wanted this cheese platter, man.
Yo, I don't know. I'm a massive fan, brother. I love the finer things. So I was like, I used to anyway, but I was like, all right. But before I sent it, I was like, oh, nah, he's sick. Like, he could be pretty bad. Anyway, I deleted all that and said, you know, didn't send that message and said, hey, brother, here if you need anything. Hope you're feeling better, man. Let us know. And then sent that. And that was the last time I heard from Matty.
How does it feel for you now knowing that you deleted that message and at least sent one back that was more positive? Like, do you feel like you would have carried some more guilt if that message was different to the one you actually ended up sending?
I suppose I would have, but at the end of the day, Matty still isn't here no matter what I can say or would have done. And I genuinely believe no matter what, even if I said anything, that Matty had made his mind up and that's what he was going to do. And at that point in time, there's unfortunately not much I could have done because of the mental state that he was in. So therefore, you know, that's been a really good lesson for me. Just being more kind. I think it's just really important to be cognizant of the messages you send to people, because maybe not suicidal, just anything. Life's short and we just don't know when it's our turn, when we're, you know, dropping off.
So yeah, you don't know what's going on under the surface. And you do know that everyone only shows to the world what they want the world to see. All of us are battling with some kind of demons and struggles underneath that. And you know that you are yourself. So you've got to think, well, I bet this person is too. I don't know to what extent or if this is related to that, but just think, put yourself in their shoes and say, well, it's not really going to make a difference to me if I choose to be kind in this position or not, but it might make a difference to them and they might need it today. Like you said, you went over in your head what you could have done differently or what you could have said. I think everyone who loses someone to suicide needs to go through that or will inevitably go through that thinking about those things. I found that I just sort of had to tire myself out going through that in my head. And then that's probably something I couldn't have stopped till I reached a point where I was able to get some more perspective and I guess you'd say accept it. It's hard to imagine that anyone could go through that and not be thinking those thoughts.
That's a normal human reaction to that, is just to be able to reflect. Because when something goes bad, no matter the severity in life, our brain kind of runs an analysis to remember for next time what not to do, essentially. And that's with suicide, because of the finality behind it. I suppose there's nothing we can do, but our brain still runs that and it's on loop. And it was the fact that I saw professional help from psychs, went back and saw a psychologist who was fantastic and talked about it, that I was able to overcome that. Otherwise, I feel like, and maybe some people that have experienced this are still caught in that loop because they haven't went and gotten help and been able to overcome this next step. Because as you know, I'm sure you're fully aware that you never get to a point where it's all good. You know, like nothing's happened. You get to a point of acceptance and you know, you can kind of have a smile when you think of them nowadays. But, you know, that takes some time and it takes some healing to get there.
Yeah, man. So tell us about the rest of Australia Day when you found out what had happened.
So I remember it was pretty brutal. I remember I got a call saying, "Hey, is Maddie with you?" And I was like freaking out as soon as I heard that, because that was unlike him to just go missing. And I messaged a few people and called a few people and was like, "Hey, have you seen him?" And then I messaged Maddie. I haven't deleted messages. I don't know. I just keep him because I don't even miss him, love him. Anyway, I remember messaging him and calling him and his phone was off. And I just kept saying, "Hey, brother, like, I love you. I really, like, if anything's wrong, please let me know. Please come and see me." And I got nothing back. And I was full of anxiety because my brain started to piece the pieces together from what had happened in the past in his kind of tendencies. And I was like, oh no, like, I was like, please, not like, you know, negotiating with God, I guess you could say. And then I got a call a few hours later saying, "Hey, we found him. Matt's passed away." That absolutely brought me to my knees because I was, you know, like it did everybody who was in his life, because he was an awesome human. And yeah, I suppose from there, I tried to put the pieces together of how I was going to come back from that. And then I went to the hospital and saw him. And then, that was really a final thing that I was with him the day before. Yeah, and then you kind of see it. It's a massive eye-opener. And it took me some serious work on myself to get through that.
I got that same phone call. What happened to your body when you got that call?
In some sense, it was like I was floating. I was so anxious. I couldn't concentrate. So I got the phone call afterwards. Sorry to go back on that. I got the phone call afterwards. What actually had happened first, before I got another call from one of his other family members, is my cousin, who's again, like one of our best mates, was walking. I called him and said, "Hey, call me if you hear anything." Like, and he was assuring me, he's a bit older. He's like, "Yeah, man, look, I'm sure he's just gone, you know, having his own time." And I said, "Look, call me as soon as you hear anything." And I was sitting on my bed at the time. And I saw my cousin pulled up out the front, and he was just like had his hands on the steering wheel and was like looking forward for like 5 minutes and didn't say anything. And I walked out to the driveway and like looked at him, because I was like, I just could sense, because I was like, he would have called me if it was anything, like if he was okay. Anyway, and then he came out and he just told me point blank, he said, "Matt's killed himself." And gave me a big hug, and we cried together and went out the back of my place and just sat down on the back deck and just kind of cried together and just chatted. And he was awesome, actually. Like, yeah, my cousin was fantastic in helping me for that initial stage, that initial shock stage. Because same thing, I was like shaking and crying, and just it turns your world upside down, because you think to yourself, it'll never happen to me until it happens to you. I felt that way about suicide. And then, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I completely relate to that. It's unlike anything else, especially if you haven't experienced any sort of a sudden loss before. Because for me, that was the first time that someone in my life had died at all, who, you know, it wasn't their time, and they shouldn't have died anywhere near that young. And this is the first time that I, and the only time, luckily, that I've even gone into shock. I didn't know what that was, and I was actually at work. I was halfway through a shift as a news reporter when I got that call from another friend. And yeah, my brain just discombobulated, where I remember hanging up the phone call in disbelief, and my initial reaction was to keep working, like to keep doing the shift. And I told my mate who I was with, who was a cameraman, and he was like, oh, like, man, like, what the fuck? Like, you know, that's massively devastating and, like, you need to go home. And I remember being like, nah, like, it's all right. I can keep working. Like, that's what my brain did, which is just completely ridiculous.
Well,
like,
yeah, man, no way I went into work the next day, man, as well. Like, and everyone at work, well, anybody that was like, I was actually pretty fresh at this new job. I'd only been there for like maybe not even a month, I'd say. So I wasn't really close with many people. And same thing, I went in there and one of the ladies I worked with was like, what are you doing? Like, and I don't know. I feel like that's just us trying to distract ourselves. It's just so overwhelmed. And I feel like not only within this, our brains do this with a lot of hurt and a lot of, especially within males, is that we just try and push it down and we don't want to deal with it. And our way of dealing with it is delving into our work because, you know, we need to think about that. With something so traumatic, that's not possible in my opinion. Like you can't at all.
Just work with but that. I was so new to shock that I didn't even know how to be in shock. Of course people don't. That's part of the point. Then I called my producer and told them what happened and they were like, well, like, yeah, you definitely need to go home now. And then 10 minutes later, I was like shaking uncontrollably and just fucking totally losing it. And for the next, definitely the next 24 hours, I don't even remember it that well. I do remember bits of it, but I just being so perplexed and just completely shocked at what had happened that it's like your brain can't compute it. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. That can't be a real thing. That's how it felt. And then after that, in dealing with people who were in shock in my work after that happened, I viewed it very differently. And that was with doing the news reporting. And then that was part of the reason why I couldn't do that job anymore, because I was like, I can't make these people talk when they're in this state, because I just think of myself and what happened to my friend. And like, it just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, definitely. Especially going through all that, I suppose I was the same. Perhaps you would have felt like this. Is it, well, even so when I went to the hospital and like they identified him and saw him, that was hard to believe, but it kind of was like, okay, well, he's there, like he's passed away, but I was still in disbelief. And then like we went to the wake and then the funeral. And then even like a month later, sorting some stuff out with his wife, Christy, and I saw his death certificate. And even that, I was like, it just still didn't feel
man. My brain. I get that. You still expect them to come back. Still now, it's years later, I still have times where I'm like, I can't believe that he's still gone. Like,
yeah. Have you had any experience with like walking down the street and you see someone that looks identical and then your brain's like, oh, fuck, that's impossible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or certainly people with like characteristics from afar who would remind me of my friend. And then my brain goes like, that's them. And then that's a real fucking sad moment sometimes, because you're like, that makes you think about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, the finality. And that's the way I look at it, I suppose. Like any hardships we face and any adversity we go through, I feel is a really good opportunity to make you see that, righto, that life is final. Like we are there. We do have an expiration date, and to just do our best until we meet again. And I do believe in an afterlife. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not that religious, but just especially from seeing Maddie, who was so full of life, to lifeless, I now understand and I can see that our souls definitely do go, and this is my opinion, of course, is that we definitely do go somewhere. And until I do meet up with Maddie again, which I'm sure I will, I've got to try and do what I can, do my best, and I'm going to make mistakes. I make them all the time, and, you know, I just try and do the best and overcome these things with a smile, I suppose, because if you can't smile or laugh at yourself, then who can you?
But that experience just grabs you and rattles the fuck out of you. And shows you like you are human and this can happen. Like, look at this happen to someone that you know right next to you. And then you're never the same after that. Not like, oh, okay, now we're all broken and sad forever. Of course, that's not what we mean. But in terms of, I sometimes say taking off like the rose-colored glasses or whatever, or just adding that edge of realness or sharpness to life where it's like, everything's all good for a while, but life can be absolutely brutal at times. And there's nothing you can do about that sometimes as well.
Well, that hardship, man, completely changed my life. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but I was in real estate and I was very much like trying to be the Wolf of Wall Street and just trying really motivated by money.
Focusing
and
on all stuff that doesn't matter.
Exactly. And once this happened to me, like I took, like you said, the rose-colored glasses off, and I was like, money's irrelevant. I was like, cars are irrelevant, like all this shit that I didn't need. And from there, I worked in real estate for like maybe another month or two and then gave it away. And then from there, I started a degree in psychology, started going out with Christy to all these schools and, you know, gyms and stuff. And we started facilitating these sessions. And yeah, from there, I was like, I love presenting. I'm very passionate about mental health. I'm very, very passionate about suicide awareness and prevention from my lived experience of it. And then from there, you know, it's gotten me a job working with Open Arms in a lived experience role, helping veterans, and also, you know, Run and Talk to Me Bro with Luke and stuff like that. So it's been one of the hardest experiences in my life, but it was one of the biggest kicks in the bum to give me idea and shape of where I needed to go in life.